From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 15th day of March, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Mark Russo will join us to discuss the agricultural weather forecast. Mark is with Everstream Analytics out of Chicago, Illinois, and we'll hear from Rich Nelson at Allendale about this morning's release of the just-captured survey of prospective plantings, planted in Titchens by farmers, and how far along they are on marketing old and new crop corn and soybeans. And we'll do all of that right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn today at $5.49.5, 10.5 cents higher. The July at $5.37.75, up 9.25. And December futures at $4.78.75, down a penny and a quarter. May soybeans, $14.19.5, up 6.25. In July, $14.10.25, 7.75 higher. November beans, $12.44, a quarter of a cent higher. Bean meal futures up $6.70 at $4.07.40, and the bean oil at $55.09 at finish, down 27 cents. Wheat futures July soft red at $6.37, up a nickel, and the hard red July at $6.11.75, up 3 cents on the day. Live cattle futures finish the April at $1.19.12.5, 12.5 cents higher, and the June at $121.77.5 per 100 pounds, $1.35 higher. Feeder cattle in the March at $137.25, 67.5 higher, and the April at $143.92.5, up 70 cents, and lean hogs for the day down 85 cents at $90.55. Crude oil at $65.45 a barrel, about 16 cents higher. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $1.95, down a penny and 6 cents. And gasoline on the RBOB down 4.2 cents today at $2.10.07 per gallon. Natural gas at $2.49, that's down 11 on the afternoon. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to discuss what happened in Chicago. Hi, thanks for being with us on this Monday, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon. Glad to be here for the Ides of March. I came around fairly quickly again.
Yeah, so beware of the Ides of March, and here's what I want to know. I understand, roughly speaking, because the inspections were really good for corn, why corn was higher. However, it seems a little worrisome that the December new crop didn't manage to follow along. Can you assuage my worries?
You bet. We basically saw the export inspections report, as you hinted on there. It came in at 2 million metric tons. That equates to 86 million bushels being shipped out, and that was just a little bit above trade expectations. So we're shipping what we're selling, and that's constructive. But the main thing is, if you watch the cash guys continue to keep the basis firm. They continue to have to put on their salesman shoes to shake remaining inventories loose from the producer. Producer's pretty well sold up where he wants to be right now on old crop corn, and is hanging on to the rest here and kind of see how this weather and acreage and reports go here towards the end of the month. So old crop corn basically is in tight hands here, and it's going to have to stay somewhat firm here to kind of shake it loose here over the near term. But then as you look at the new crop corn, yes, we got a large time window here as we go into the growing season, a lot of uncertainty in front of us, but the urgency's up front, so they both spread it. But on the corn, they were dialed in at 92 million acres for this spring. There's ideas that maybe those acres could climb as much as 94, 95 million acres. So, you know, if we get the acres or an additional acres, and if this moisture pattern continues in here, that we could recharge the upper layer of the subsoil moisture areas and get this crop off to a good start. So there's no urgency really to book a whole lot of or run the new crop up. Right now the urgency is in the old crop on the corn side there, Todd.
What are the other things you're watching over the next couple of weeks? I know at the end of the month, of course, we have grain stocks and prospective plantings figures due out.
Well, the big one, of course, is that is, but we've got a lot of zigging and zagging between now and then. I think the end user wants to get some coverage on before those reports. They're moving out to another 30 to 45 days. So if these reports at the end of the month are bullish, they'll say they probably bought the rumor and sell them the facts. So we'll see how that unfolds. But in the meantime, we continue to watch South America. The weather forecast continues to flip-flop back and forth. Beans were overnight lower on ideas that there's a little spotty moisture around and that maybe the crop has stabilized. And the Brazilian bean harvest, maybe in this 45% complete area versus 58% a year ago. So we'll continue to watch the weather in Argentina and the harvest progress in the southern hemisphere. Other than that, it'd be day-to-day demand, and we're not seeing those big daily export sales announcements that the trade's been hoping for, but there's been a lot of daily sales under the radar that's adding up over time, and that needs to continue, along with big feed usage. We saw some adverse weather in here. That slowed down transportation a little bit here, especially in the Western Belt, but weather here in the upper Midwest we watch closely.
When farmers call in, what are they worried about and what are they asking?
Well, right now the lines are kind of quiet. It gets first of March in here. Their focus is getting ready to go to the field here, kind of watching the weather forecast. Some we're going to try to get a last-minute spring break trip in here with the weather forecast the way it is here over the near term. But the biggest question we're seeing or the biggest opportunity that guys are looking at is, one, how can I take advantage of these price levels but also take advantage of an upward price move? We're still going with old KISS theory, putting in a price floor. Go ahead and do the crop insurance, do a little grain marketing, but with a price floor attack on this thing, you're able to take advantage of some higher prices, and you're not committing a whole lot of bushels, and that's kind of a comfort zone since we don't know what this weather forecast is going to unfold as we go through the growing season.
Do we see ethanol usage picking up?
Well, I believe so. With the vaccines around, we're starting to see families more comfortable looking at a summer vacation. Gasoline prices have moved up in through here, so I think usage and overall demand in general is going to help support ethanol. But also, too, on the export side, we've been moving some export ethanol out, and I think the overall ethanol usage is going to stay fairly better than what the trade's been letting on.
What are you following on the livestock sector?
Well, the hogs are just phenomenal. We went from large supplies to 2-3% less supplies, inventories to work with. Pork demand's huge. If you watch the weekly export sales report for pork, that's just about as exciting as the grain complex. We're continuing to move pork to Asia, not just China, but some other countries. Mexico continues to buy U.S. pork. Then overall consumption started to pick up. As you start to look at the weather starting to cooperate here in the future and these restaurants opening up, overall demand outside the home is starting to pick up. So we're starting to see some end users come forward here and start to book some product here as we move into this spring. A cattle complex, we'll see how this spring weather unfolds. The biggest concern as we get through the month of April here, move into April, get through April here, is the feedlot conditions. So we'll see how that weather pattern unfolds here for those feedlots out west.
I know the trade has been thinking about a couple of things. This is related to what's happened in Congress with the COVID relief package and that $1,400 check that's going to come to a lot of Americans over the next week or so. Part of it has to do with inflation, and maybe you can take some of that up. The other part, as you mentioned, may very well be that restaurants and just the usage might pick up as well of red meat, I would think.
Yeah, when you look at extra dollars to spend, people like to eat out. This is going to give them a reason to go out and celebrate and spend some of that stimulus money in general. You know, $1,400, that's a lot of money. Is it going to create inflation? I don't think so. When you look at the overall economy, I think the main focus is giving everybody a bit of relief, but the main thing we need to do is get everybody body back to work that wants to work, and that's going to be the biggest catalyst there, is to get the jobs going, and that's going to float into small business. Small business is one of the engines in through here. You get the small business going again, such as these restaurants, things start to fall in place.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Very good. Take care, Todd.
You too. That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand. Anytime you'd like, right there from our website. The address is willag.org, willag.org. Just click and play our programming from the website, or if you prefer, you can scroll down the page, and you'll find links to some of your favorite podcast applications, places like NPR One and Stitcher, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify too, however you listen to us. Thank you so much for taking your time and listening to us here at Illinois Public Media. And the other thing on that website, by the way, is information from the agricultural economist from the University of Illinois, along with the animal scientist and the crop scientist. Again, you can find it all at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, earlier today, the good folks at Allendale released their survey results, checking out acreage and expectations that farmers across the nation might have. Rich Nelson now joins us. He's the director of research there and put together the survey. Thanks, Rich, for being with us on short notice today. We appreciate that. What'd you all find?
So overall, the general message was, as far as corn and soybean acreage, maybe just a little higher than what USDA had been talking about in their February Ag Forum here numbers. 92.8 million as far as the corn planting. That'd be up about 2.0 over last year, so probably not any surprise to most people here. Soybean side of things, 90.3 million acres. In this case, about 7.2 million over last year. So both these a little higher than USDA for the February Ag Farm numbers. If there's maybe a small surprise, it'd be the implication as far as the wheat numbers, specifically the spring wheat discussion, where we have been talking about a decline in spring wheat going to soybeans. What we're actually suggesting is the survey might have shown that, yes, we're getting back acres from preventive plants, but also on top of that, we're probably getting some brand new acres which haven't been in production maybe for a couple of years. So spring wheat up 200,000, and keep in mind, most people expected a general decline of maybe a half million to 1 million there.
What's the implied production, and what numbers are you using for yields?
Sure. So as far as our yield numbers on the corn side, we're using 179.7, just a little higher than USDA was looking at here. And we're looking at a production of 15.240 billion bushels, and that's up about 1.058 from last year. As far as the soybean numbers, we're using 51.1 for our version of trend yield, and that's just a little higher than USDA as well. And that does give us a record production of 4.558, and that's up about 422 million bushels. Now, keep in mind, yes, there is a good increase in production, but that's going to be countered by a good deal by the smaller beginning stocks we have lined up for new crop, and as well as a general, very aggressive new crop demand base here.
You also surveyed the producers to see how far along they might have been on marketing for both old and new crop. Anything that we should glean from that part of the survey?
You know, that's also a very interesting discussion point as well, because we did see some surprises on this survey here. So we asked them about their marketing of old and new crop for corn, soybeans, and wheat. Here's kind of lays out right now. As far as the corn side, 79% of the old crop that our survey respondents told us, 79% had been moved out already. And that's actually quite a bit more than last year's survey at 65%. As far as a new crop corn marketing pace, you know, not as aggressive, currently about 16% complete versus 10 last year. Numbers on soybeans, really astounding there too, as far as the old crop movement. 87% of old crop moved out last year at this time. They told us 68. And as far as new crop numbers, 15% marketed versus last year at 6. So very aggressive on the old crop marketings. and certainly a little higher than last year also on the new crop discussion.
One final question for you before I let you go. How big is the survey?
So we don't release estimates here as far as the number of respondents that we received in, but we certainly will point out we had about 29 separate states participating, and usually it ranges anywhere from 27 to about 31. And we generally have enough quality respondents to cover the main 12 states of production here in the Midwest, and that does include Kansas. And this covers about 85% of all production. So there are some questions regarding the South, which we don't have answers for regarding the cotton and sorghum discussions. But certainly for the Midwest, we have very good coverage for the top 12 states there.
Hey, thanks so much, Rich.
Thank you.
Rich Nelson is the director of research for Allendale out of McHenry, Illinois. The company released results of its annual acreage survey of producers earlier today. The Closing Market Report is a co-production of University of Illinois Extension and Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. Let's check in now with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start here in the Corn Belt with the weather forecast. By golly, I had a little ice hanging off some things as the rain, really cold, has come down throughout the day today. What's the rest of the Corn Belt look like today, and what will it look like for the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, a pretty wet day today here across much of the Corn Belt. And yeah, certain areas will see a bit of frozen precipitation here, even some accumulating snow in northern Illinois and areas of Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin over the next 24 hours or so. And beyond this storm, it does look like the pattern will be, you know, quite mixed, meaning that there will be periods of scattered rain and even a little bit of frozen precip at times. But that'll be interspersed with several days of drier conditions. And as for temperatures, this week will be a bit biased on the cool side, but does look to change as we go into the weekend of next week, as then readings begin to warm up. So all in all, quite a bit of variability in the pattern, which is actually, you know, pretty typical here for the month of March.
Will the rain continue with the warmer temperatures?
We do see rain at times, although right now nothing is pointing to any exceptionally wet patterns, which, you know, that would be a concern going into April if, well, number one, if soil moisture in numerous areas were, quite high, and then if the pattern was very, very active. And we're not seeing really any of that at the present time, at least here in the Corn Belt.
If we had quite high moisture levels across the Corn Belt, how are they, by the way? They've changed in the last month.
Yeah, they're quite variable. The further north and west you go, the drier the conditions, and the further south and east you go, then the wetter conditions. And of all the Corn Belt, it's really the southern acreage, especially in around the Ohio River Valley, that, you know, has been the most active and has seen the heaviest precipitation of late.
Tell me a little bit about the snowstorm that had raged across portions of the West over the last day and a half or so.
Yeah, the storm system that moved into that region, that's actually the energy that's affecting the Midwest here today. That produced tremendous snows, especially in areas of the Central Plains and foothills there in Colorado and Wyoming. Within that zone, snowfall totals ranged anywhere from 1 to 3 feet, and just major and debilitating snow event for that area. Pretty localized and really just confined to that High Plains region. Really none of the major snow moved into areas of the Corn Belt, at least in, you know, Kansas and Nebraska.
Before I let you go, we should check in on South America. Dry conditions in Argentina still, and they're trying to get both a crop out and a crop in Mato Grosso, particularly in Brazil. How does the weather stack up in those areas?
Bottom line, it looks favorable or more favorable in both of those areas as we look out for the remainder of March. In Argentina, rainfall prospects have increased for the next couple of weeks, so that should provide some dryness relief. And then in Mato Grosso and much of Central West Brazil, the pattern starting next week looks to turn more active, and that should help increase the pace here a bit of soybean harvesting as well as winter corn planting.
Hey, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Everstream Analytics out of Chicago, Illinois. Joined us to take a look at the weather forecast. Brian Stark is now here from the Andersons to talk about the cash grain market. Hey, thanks, Brian, for being with us. Tell me about trade in Chicago today.
Well, I think you're getting a little bit of front-end action higher in the old crop months. Obviously, still searching out prices that kind of ebb and flow and slow consumption. We had a real big number of corn inspections. I think that's been the pattern. We're going to see weekly inspections every Monday be fairly large, but we're lacking new sales. So trying to feel out exactly if we still got upcoming more demand from China or if they're completely done. I also think the expanded limits have a little bit to do with the nearby activity as well today.
Can you go through those two reports for me that come out about exports for the week? So there's the one on Monday, and then there's another one later in the week. And what's the difference between the two?
So export inspections are released at 10 a.m. Central Time on Monday, indicate the amount of grain that actually is shipped. On Thursday morning at 7:30 Central, we receive what is labeled new weekly sales. So sales are great, but really the key component of finalizing and knowing where our demand is what actually ships. And obviously, the great example is China. In the past, they can potentially roll some sales over between crop years. They do this every year. So to actually see big numbers in shipments is a big deal to verify all sales will fall within the old crop cycle.
Interestingly enough, not all of the corn sales, or soybean sales for that matter, were headed to China. Just 16%, I think, were going to China for the corn sales.
I think that's right. I didn't delve into the specific numbers this morning, but yeah, I think it's good to see that there's some other countries taking shipments, but we've got a large corn export program to ship out here the balance of the crop year, and I think to see big numbers continuing each Monday is very important. Important to sustain some of the old crop values we've seen the board achieve.
Yeah, so that would be just to stay up with what trade expectations are and fulfill them, right? And Thursday is the one where it really makes a big difference at this point. What do we see in the cash grain market? Are things still tight?
Things are tight. You're starting to see a little bit of domestic processors sniffing out potential movement in April, May. I think, you know, end users that we've talked to are starting to get a little bit nervous about maintaining coverage on corn and beans when the farmers go to the field here in the next couple of months to plant. So basis does have a firm tone, especially on soybeans as tight as we are.
Hey, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons. He joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.